Security advisor Ajit Doval has met the Chinese foreign minister today. Wang Yi has also met the vice president of China earlier on in Beijing. With Wang Yi, the meetings were to discuss peace along the line of actual control. The significant meeting is the first special representative's dialogue in 5 years. It aims at implementing commitments from the Modi-Xi talks. Joining us now, a very special guest, Harsh Shringla, the former Foreign Secretary of India and G20 Sherpa. Thanks so very much for being with us. Just looking into point number six of the statement issued by India, where it says they've provided positive directions for cross-border cooperation exchanges, including resumption of the Kailash Mansarovar Yatra, data sharing on transborder rivers and border trade. Would you say that this is the big takeaway?
So, I mean, you know, you have two statements, right? The Chinese have issued a statement which talks about a six-point consensus. And ours is a more succinct, less dramatic statement, which is essentially, you know, goes to the core of the matter. Both statements are primarily saying the same thing, but if you put them together, you get a slightly larger picture. And as you correctly pointed out, one of the, immediate, deliverables announced as a result of this meeting was a resumption of cross-border exchanges, essentially amounts to a resumption of the Kailash Mansarovar Yatra, but also resumption of border trade at Nathula, which I think is important for a state of, like Sikkim and, you know, the bordering areas. So there is a certain sort of announcement, but there is also an expectation that if the ground situation is kept under control and does not affect the border issue, then the process of normalization could go further. I mean, if you were to interpret it, I would say that, it's essentially more steps are on their way, provided things continue to go as they've been. And both sides acknowledge that so far, you know, the steps taken in the western sector of the India-China border or boundary areas, border areas, have been quite satisfactory, resulting in, I would say, patrolling and grazing, that was normal in those areas.
I noticed there's no mention so far of a resumption of direct air services. That, I think some would have suggested, was a low-hanging fruit. Is that perhaps an indicator that, you know, I mean, this has not really gone as far as some expected things to go? Or do you believe that this is as far as this round, at least, of special representative talks could have achieved?
So it's a step-by-step process, because remember, we have only reached the first stage, that is, you know, de-escalation. You still need, the second process, which is disinduction, and involves the thinning of troops from the border areas. All of these have to go satisfactorily. I think from our side, it is important that we keep the process, going in a calibrated manner based on the results on the ground. I think that is a part of that, consensus that both sides speak of. And therefore, if the situation on the ground does not impinge on the boundary area, so to speak, then the normalization process will continue. And the next, as you say, the low-hanging fruit would be resumption of air services, possibly also a liberalization of the visa regime and in a certain way. So there are many steps that could be taken. If you looked at the press statement that the Chinese side had issued after our special representative, NSA, Ajit Dovalji, called on the Chinese vice president, he talks about what are the areas that can be done. You know, he talks about the fact that next year represents the 75th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations. He talks about high-level exchanges. He talks about normal exchanges on trade, economy, culture. And he also talks about resumption of gradual resumption of institutional dialogue. So all of these are really the areas where the Chinese, I think, wish to reach. And that itself is a process, and that is the objective, but there is a process behind it. And that process must continue in a calibrated manner. That's the sense I get from our side.
Can China be trusted?
So you trust but verify. And I think verification here is very, very critical, because, every step of the way should be calibrated based on, developments on the ground. I think the special representatives meeting is very important. It comes after 5 years. And the fact that they've decided to strengthen that mechanism and as we our side calls it, sort of inject a new vitality, I think is a sign that both sides want to speed up that process of, finding a sort of a fair, reasonable, and mutually acceptable solution at both sides. I'm talking about, in inverted commas, solution to the boundary question. I think that is where I think we have to be very calibrated in what we do, because it's not just the Ladakh border, and that process is still on, but it's a question of examining the entire border in its entirety and reviewing what can be done to avoid friction and to make it a cooperative system of border guarding as possible. And from that, you go on to, normalization relationships, which will ultimately end up in what existed before 2020.
It's that boundary question, though, which is the basis of the relationship truly flourishing, right? We use the word boundary, we use the word LAC, McMahon line elsewhere. We don't use the word border in most places.
Both sides talk about border areas, but it really is a question of demarcation of the boundary. But right now, it's only a question of the managing the border areas. How do you manage the border areas that does not lead to friction?
Well, we've been trying to fix that border for decades. There's been no forward movement. I think I take your point when you say that we're just trying to get to that stage where we can have the more serious conversations. For now, it's managing the situation on the ground. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us, Ambassador Shingla, for sharing your views on this. Thanks very much indeed. I'm also joined by Aina Tangen, a senior fellow at the Taihe Institute and chairperson Asia Narratives channel based in Beijing. General Rameshwar Yadav joins us as well. Aina Tangen, thank you very much for being with us. One step forward, two steps forward. How would you characterize what you're seeing what you've seen in Beijing today?
Well, I think the previous minister expressed it quite succinctly. This is a question where trust has been at a low ebb for quite some time. So it's trust but verify. It's good that people are talking. So these are small steps. I would prefer small steps to large steps, simply because you cannot have large steps until you have this trust relationship. And I would agree that this has to ultimately, if it's going to work out for both countries, result in a border situation which is acceptable to both.
In the interim period, sir, do you believe that both sides need to step up economic ties? I know China has really wanted that. It makes sense for India at a basic level as well. But again, it's that issue of trust. What China has said so far is that, look, we have a problem. We've been unable to resolve the boundary issue. Keep that aside and let us work towards areas where we can flourish, the economy being one of them. India has been more reticent in that regard. Do you believe that there could now be a meeting ground on the issue of greater trade based on what we are seeing in the statements today?
Well, I think you have to separate these two issues for the moment. I agree with, as I said, the previous minister, as his assessment, that this is baby steps. This has been a longstanding 4-year process of loss of trust, mutual hostility, and it has to go very slowly. One of the issues to think about is that China and India, although they're neighbors, have very different approaches to negotiations. In India, they want the other party to make an offer, express what they want. China tends to draw circles around what they think is possible based on what they think you want. So the reticence here is trying to get both to come clean and say exactly what it is they want and what is possible, because you can't always get what you want. The question is, what is possible that would achieve peace and be mutually beneficial to both sides?
That's a fascinating point. Would you like to add a little bit more to that, how negotiating styles between Beijing and New Delhi are fundamentally different? The way we communicate is different. The way we talk to the media is certainly different. And therefore, that impacts the basic issue of trust as well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, because you're very suspicious of somebody who isn't responding to you. I remember a meeting involving a high-level Russian figure and some Chinese, very high-level Chinese people. And, the Russian was very direct. And he said, look, you know, this is what we want, and this is what I want to talk about. And the Chinese responded by drawing circles, and he became extremely frustrated. And I just said to him, I said, listen, they're not trying to frustrate you. They're just trying to figure out exactly how what you want and what they want would somehow fit together. And they don't want to make any promises because it's very hierarchical. But they want to get a sense of where you are, where they think they are, and then, as I said, how this comes together. And this is very, very difficult. And this is one of the reasons in a multipolar world, it's not just China and India or the U.S. or any other. All countries have to understand deeply how other countries react, what their interests are. And that requires more than just language. You have to understand the history, the culture, everything about the philosophy, approaches, literature, even, you know, popular music. How is it that people see themselves on both sides? And until you can learn that and accept that there are differences, but there are ways of addressing those, it's very, very hard to communicate.
All right, I'm also joined by General Rameshwar Yadav. Thanks, General, very much for being with us. I think the big takeaway in the last couple of months is that the disengagement process seems to be holding. It's not de-induction. It's a disengagement in limited areas, but an important one. How much of what we are talking about now is premised on that piece, on the line of actual control, in Western, in Ladakh, actually remaining?
As far as the disengagement in Dapsang and other areas are concerned, it is holding on, and it is a very small step as of now, but much more needs to be done. That is one point. Second point is, you had asked earlier, do we trust Chinese? My answer is no, we do not trust them. And in fact, that in 2020, when they came in here, all of a sudden, from that day onwards, means the trust factor has gone down drastically. So it will take a lot of time and a lot of efforts on part of China to restore that trust with us. And what has happened today in the meeting and whatever communique has come out, they are talking of everything else. They're talking of politics, they're talking of communication, they're talking of air passages and other things, but they're not talking of military to that extent, unless it has not been declassified as of now. What I was expecting, that this meeting, National Security Advisor will take this entire process of disengagement, then de-escalation and de-induction. That process should be worked out, how it could be done. But I don't think that it will take, I don't think it will be possible in a shorter time frame. It will take time. We are also very observant, watching their moves on every by and large every day. And it is only after a lot of observation, and once we get adequate confidence, then only we can think of de-escalating this entire situation. Otherwise, there's no surety that China will not come back again in some other...
Is that a view, General Yadav, that is shared by senior army officials serving, that they are worried about going too far with the Chinese right now, given what we've seen over the last 4 years?
Yes, you see, means China came in here, this political-military coercion, what they were trying to do, they have failed in that. And they had realized much earlier that... if they take some kind of a military adventure against India, they may not be successful. And that is something which will result in loss of face for China, which they cannot afford to do that. But accordingly, they have delayed everything on the quiet. There are more than 21 meetings between the core command and military level, along with the diplomats that we have. As far as other foreign ministry communications, they are in touch with each other. Now they want to go back from a position of strength. This is what the perception is as of now. And today's meeting, they have talked about everything else except the disengagement and de-escalation to the extent that we are expecting.
All right. I think that viewpoint represents the divergence, which at a fundamental level still exists between both sides. But I would suggest that the fact that after 5 years we've got these talks happening at the level of special representatives is very important. And let's hope that both sides can understand where each side is coming from in order for this to be a lasting peace. I'd like to thank you both very much for being with us.